He would be talking about the genetic variability for bioenergy and agronomic traits in sorghum mini-core collection. And I think in context of this, if you're all aware, ARPA-E came out with a FOA specifically targeting sorghum as a phenotyping crop for improving biomass and bioenergy production. So I think this is a pretty good talk in terms of understanding the phenotypic traits of sorghum. Dr. Upadhyay.
Thank you, Dr. Kakani. And I see time is 6 past 8. So next 17 minutes I'll take. I'll try to be little quicker also. We all know really the importance of bioenergy, biofuels, because it's a really renewable source of energy. And bioethanol can be produced from several crops, including sorghum. And I would like to mention that those of you who don't know ICRISET and much about it, it's an international research institute. And we have 5 mandate crops: sorghum, palm millet, chickpea, pigeon pea, and peanuts. So sorghum is our mandate crop. And biofuels or bioethanol based on crops are really very attractive options. And in terms of energy, 1 gallon of ethanol is equivalent to 1 gallon of gasoline. Several regions and important countries are paying increasing attention towards ethanol production from different crops and residues and feedstocks. For instance, EU wants to increase the proportion of renewable energy from 9% in 2009 to about 20%. And part of it could be this bioethanol things. China has targeted 4 million tons of bioethanol by 2020 and 7.95 by 2030. Brazil, India, and in case of India, sorghum is an important food crop not only in India but Africa. About 500 million people depend on this crop. And we consider sweet sorghum, the sorghum which contains high brix reed and high sucrose content in its stalk, as a smart food, feed, and bioenergy crop. We all know that it's a C4 crop, and the major of bioenergy traits we considered in this paper which I am going to present: this total sugar content, that's brix, biomass, and juice yields. Also, because sorghum is an important food crop, though you will find people selectively interpreting that there is no trade-off between, say, bioenergy traits and yield, there is partially if you have a broad range of materials tested, as in this case. See the scenario of the sorghum. Say among all the cereals, it contributes about 2.2% of the production from about 5.4% of the area. So decidedly, its yield is poorer than other cereals. And rightly so. Not that it is justifiable, that it is grown in marginal soils, where drought is occurrence in both Asia, Africa, and other places. And region-wise, if you see, Africa, Asia, and Americas, these are 3 important regions where more than 90-95% of the sorghum occurs. As a crop, it can be harvested within 4 months, very early crop, C4 adapted, food, feed, bioenergy, non-invasive species, as ethanol, eco-friendly processing, less sulfur in the ethanol, high octane rating, bagasse is also important, as well as raw materials from the sorghum. Regarding the genetic variability that occurs in this crop for bioenergy and as well as agronomic traits, if we look at the scenario of the global germplasm collections, the second state of world report of plant genetic resources indicated that about 7.4 million accessions, several of them repeated, maybe 30% of them, maybe unique only, are conserved at about 1700 gene banks in the world. And for sorghum, there are about 250,000 samples. Again, a lot of them may be duplicates. 20% of them, 20 gene bank of them have about 62% of the accessions. Equiset gene bank, we have the largest collection, about 39,000 accessions from 92 countries, and a lot of them land races. And obviously, the question would be that when we talk of genetic variability, is it the genetic variability in those 39,000 accessions? Obviously not, but in a representative sample of that. Because a sample which represents the diversity can provide you approximate information about the total variability present in the species. And when we talk of not only bioenergy traits but agronomic traits, then we have to consider what are the really needs of the plant breeders. If somebody is going to breed for high Brix reading or high sucrose content and others, breeders don't need 39,000 sorghum accessions. They need few, 5 to 10 accessions, mostly trait specific or multiple trait specific, which can provide the kind of material so that they can improve the trait. And agronomically, those germplasm lines or parents should be desirable traits, if not better than the parents, at least similar, and that will really enhance the probability of recovering high yielding types. We have selected a mini core collection, because when we selected a core collection which was about 2,500 accessions from the 22,000, 23,000 land races, it was still very unwieldy for multi-location replicated evaluation. So we came up with this concept of mini core. We had 242 accessions out of those 22,000 represented the diversity of the land races in that species. And we evaluated this mini core collection under drought as well as under irrigated condition. And for that, what we did was, we had the days to flowering in the post-rainy season. In India, you have two distinct seasons. Rainy season starts from June, and that's where you will get the photosensitivity effect. But if you plant sometime in 12th October or 13th October, then that effect is diminished, and then you can really assess the phenological variability and depending on that. So we divided into five groups. One group was less than 60 days flowering, then 60 to 70, 70 to 80, 10 days gaps, and then we have five groups of them. In the group which received drought treatment, say if we have flowering at 60 days, then 1 month before flowering, the irrigation was stopped, so that post-flowering drought you get. And then this was almost a 2 hectare experiment in 2 to 3 seasons. And these were the trait which we recorded. Last four are grain yield, days to flowering, plant height and 100 seed weight. They are agronomic traits. And this has come out in a paper in 2014 in Crop Science. Obviously, drought main effect and its interaction effect in all five groups were highly significant. Drought enhanced the Brix reading by 27%, but if you see the fourth bullet point, drought decreased biomass as well as juice by 56%. In each group, five group, there was differential interactions. If you see the group 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, these are the number of accessions, and group 2 and group 3 has almost 180 accessions out of 242, so they were major groups, 70 to 60 to 80 days. And in all of them, if you see the third and fourth column, there were significant differences. Drought increased, and the increase ranged from 8 or 9% to 27%. If you see again in different columns, different traits, within a group, huge variability. And this is not one season, but two seasons. And very precise experimentation, 2 to 3 times variability, not only for brix reading, but even for juice yield, head length, grain yield, up to 10 times variability was there. And this, the correlations, if you see in all of the groups, obviously you can expect that high brix reading will have positive correlation with days to flowering, because late one would have obviously high brix reading. But if you see the column with grain yield in group 1 and 4 and 5th, even yield was not negatively correlated, at least in group 3, 4, it was negatively correlated. So based on differential groups, there was differential reactions and interactions. We know that significant and positive associations were there between these two traits in BRICS, and they really confer, because taller the one, you get better one. We also had on these 242 accessions of mini-core, multi-locational, multi-year information on 6 diseases, as well as iron and zinc content under both drought as well as under irrigated conditions. So again, the needs of breeders would be that, okay, forget about even 242. What are the 5 or 6 accessions which do have maximum or very good brix reading along with yield? So you find these 7 accessions which have about 14 to 15% overall brix better than the control cultivar, that is 33844, and then brix plus grain yield, where trade-off is very, very low or minimal. These are 4 accessions where brix reading was 12 to 13% more, as well as yield was up to 23% more grain yield. Biomass, again these accessions, juice weight, single accessions, single trait ones, and then biomass, grain, plus 100 seed weight. These 2 accessions produced much, much better, all these 3 combinations of these 3 traits, than the best control cultivar. Biomass and juice yield, again these 2 traits. Then brix, grain, iron and zinc content, and as well as seed yield, 3 accessions. Resistance to anthracnose, second bullet you see, plus leaf blight, brix, iron, zinc, and 2 diseases, IS24939, this accession. And then anthracnose and leaf blight, these are again published one in Plant Diseases from Sarma et al. And then anthracnose, rust and leaf blight, these 3 diseases, and then grain, iron, zinc, and brix, another accession. You have these combinations, then again these 4-5 traits, these 2 accessions, not only brix reading, but biomass, juice and grain yield, iron and zinc content. Brix and resistance to dwarf mosaic virus, this is an important disease in some of the areas, and then stem borer resistance with high brix, 3 accessions. Then resistance to soot fly. Then what we did was that we had data on about 3,000 accessions of composite collection, wherein mini core collection is part of that, 41 SSR markers, and then we grouped them. So there are clearly 3 clusters. The cluster 1 is basically high brix accessions from America, and then cluster 3 is from Africa, and cluster 2 is high brix high juice yield as well as grain yield from Asia. So this separation among accessions of mini core was there. So, and this was based on the 16 best accessions, not only for bricks and juice yields, but for grain yield as well. Overall, 16 accessions they were grouped. We consider the mini core is now an international public goods, and various national programs in Asia, Africa, as well as South America are utilizing, and we have provided 35 sets of sorghum mini core countries to the scientists in 14 countries: Argentina, Australia, Bangladesh, China, Egypt, Ethiopia, India, Japan, Mali, Pakistan, Turkey, and USA. And it has really, do I have 2 minutes? Oh, no problem. And this funnel approach indicates that if you have all 39,000 accessions at the top, very limited information, very limited use of germplasm in any crop, not more than 0.5% of germplasm is used. If you go to the middle level where you develop core collection, develop some more information, better, little better use, and if you come at the last, there is a higher use. And overall, we have provided about 224 sets of all crops mini core collection to scientists in 34 countries. My conclusion is that we have identified 16 accessions which are very important, and these accessions not only have bioenergy traits but nutritionally dense as well as high grain yield. And then these accessions can be used in crop improvement program to develop bioenergy traits or the varieties having nutritionally dense as well as bioenergy traits. And these are some of my co-authors: Dr. Dubedi, Shailesh, Punnaramu, Subhay Singh, and other people. Thank you very much.
Open for questions.
Okay, so the question is that how did we select core, or for that matter the mini core collection, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, say initially what we did was out of 39,000 we identified 22,000 land races, and based on simple morphological traits, agronomic traits, both in rainy and post-rainy season, we identified a representative sample which represents the diversity of all those 22,000 accessions at about 2,200 something. And then that was the core collection published in Crop Science again. And that core collection we evaluated in a post-rainy season for different traits, and then again the same iteration went through, and we identified purely again on agronomic morphological traits 242 accessions which represented the core collection. Now the question perhaps you intend to ask is that would it have been better had we used the molecular markers or something like that to identify the core or mini core collection? My answer would be not really. It doesn't help much, but not in this forum, but I have indicated in one case where chickpea, 3,000 accessions we had, we genotyped with 48 SSR markers, and on the same 3,000 genotypes, we have data on 7 simple qualitative traits. And you have the sample, 300 sample most diverse from this set based on 48 SSR markers, and 300 sample based on simple 7 morphological traits. And the SSR alleles in them, difference was only 2%. The one with 48 SSR markers represented 78% alleles of entire collection of 3,000. The one on 7 simple qualitative traits had 76% SSR alleles. So to me, if your method is correct, if your matrix is okay, full matrix, all most of the traits you are considering, it really doesn't matter.
Thank you. we'll go for the next presentation.
Thank you, Dr. Upadhyay. Thank you.